Hi, yeah, okay. And I hope you've been able to appreciate what we've been studying. Our main topic is faith. And how are we learning about faith? We are learning about faith through examples of faith, through people, through real people who lived, yes, a long time ago, but whose faith really, really stood out. And in their lives, we catch a glimpse of what it means to really live with faith. And I think we can see some things that are very obvious. One is that faith is never meant to be an intellectual matter. It's never meant to be just something you accept or believe, but something that comes out in our lives. And faith is clearly seen and displayed in the lives of all these people that we have seen. And that we also can have a faith that makes our lives distinct and distinctly marked by our faith. So we've studied about the example of Abel as opposed to Cain. We've looked at Enoch. And the question I would like to ask is, how has your life been affected by your faith? Now, Cain's example was about worship. Enoch was about walking with God. Now let me ask you, has your worship changed? Has your faith affected the way you worship? One, and has your faith affected your walk with God? Have you commenced a walk with God? Are you continuing on a walk with God? That's what we have learned so far. Because what we're learning should impact us, right? What we're learning should directly impact our lives. Otherwise, we would be missing the point of Hebrews 11. Okay, now today we begin on another example of faith. And this man's name is Noah. Okay, but before I go into Hebrews 11, I just want to talk about how we are actually studying the scriptures. Okay, so let's just look at this. Okay, just to, for you to understand a bit better why we flip Genesis and then Hebrews 11. Okay, so we are looking at it as this is the story of the person we are studying. And so far, it's all been found in Genesis. So we have Abel, we have Enoch, and we have Noah. So we have the Genesis account here. And in this case, we're looking at Genesis chapter 6. We will be soon. Okay? And Hebrews, the author of Hebrews, is making a comment on the life of Noah in this case. And that would be Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. Okay? So the question really is, the author of Hebrews is seeing something about Noah and his life and his story that you would not normally see otherwise. Okay? I think the best way to look at it is to go straight into the text and then you'll know what I mean. Okay? So let's just look at the Genesis account. Let's go to Genesis chapter 6. And let's just, you know, let me introduce you to the story of Noah. Well, you may know a little bit of it, but let's go straight to the scriptures and let's see what we can find about this story. Okay? Okay, so now we look at Noah in chapter 6. Now, this is the world that he lived in. And what was the world like? What was Noah's world like? We read in Genesis 6, verse 5. Okay? And we read, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth." Okay? We have one word there, wickedness. "And that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Now this is the picture. We have wickedness, we have evil. Okay? Now we move on to verse 11. "The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence." You have wickedness, we have evil, you have corruption, you have violence. Doesn't sound so dissimilar from our world today. But this is what it was. Okay, the earth was described in this way. Okay, now let's take a look at Noah. What was Noah like? Okay, in verse 9. "Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God." Okay, so here's the world that we see. The wicked world, evil, corruption, violence. And then you see this one guy that really, really stood out. And that's Noah. He was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. Familiar. Enoch walked with God. This is the second description. Noah walked with God. Okay, so you have the world, you have Noah. Okay, then what else? Okay, in verse 8, we read, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Was Noah all that perfect? You read, wow, just man, perfect in his generations. Almost like this is like a perfect guy. But if he's so perfect, why does he need grace from God? So clearly he's not a perfect person. He needs that grace from God. So this is the description that we have of Noah and the comment that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Okay, let's talk about what happened. Verse 13, and God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Okay? So the Lord says, the destruction is going to come upon the earth because of what it is. Wicked, evil, corrupt, violent. And it's going to happen. How is it going to happen? Look at verse 17. I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. So this is what will happen. But what about Noah then? You have this, the world. You have this one man that is so distinct and different. What's going to happen to Noah? Well, this is what it is. In verse 14, make yourself an ark. Okay? And what will happen? You go into this ark. And not only you, and your whole family goes into the ark. But first, you have to make the ark, obviously. Okay? Make yourself an ark. And then in verse 18, you shall go into the ark. You, your sons, your wife, your sons' wives, together with you. Go into the ark. And Noah did all that the Lord commanded. Verse 22, thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did. And in chapter 7, in verse 1, the Lord commanded him. And he says, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. Okay, so now I've summarized for you Genesis chapter 6. This is what happened before the flood took place. So this is Noah. Now I ask you, what do you see? What stands out? Nothing, right? You don't know, right? That's what I'm talking about. That's why the author of Hebrews comments on it. And you know what he sees? Faith. Do you see faith? I ask you to read all that you just read. Do you see faith? Not exactly. Well, you would see righteousness is one. You would see the wickedness of the world is one. You would see God as a judge. But not necessarily faith. And this is why we study Hebrews as we do. Because the authors in the New Testament can see something that you don't necessarily see. That's why we study it closely. And when we look at Hebrews 11 verse 7, okay, and let's look at it carefully now. He sees faith. Right? The author of Hebrews sees the faith of Noah. And so in Hebrews 11 verse 7, it says, by faith, Noah. The faith of Noah really, truly stood out to the author of Hebrews. And we really want to ask ourselves this afternoon, what was it about Noah's faith that really made him stand out? What were the features of it? What are the subtleties of it? You see, whenever I read, you know, Hebrews 11, I look at Genesis, and I'm always asking myself this, do you see? And you know the Christmas song will always come, do you see what I see? Do you see? And I do not see. Until I study and I study and I study, and then the Lord would begin to help me to see. But do you see? That's the question. No, I think some of you have seen those, you know, pictures where you have many, many colors, dots, 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 dots. And then you stare at it, it's nothing. It's just a lot of dots. Until you stare like long enough. And then suddenly this dinosaur will appear. You know? You've got to see something that is not so clear on the surface, and yet when the author of Hebrews comments on it, there it is. Faith. The faith of Noah. And that is what we are trying to do. That is what we are studying. And I hope you get an appreciation of why we go Genesis and then Hebrews, and this is why. Okay? So what was it about Noah's faith that was really, really outstanding? And the first comment is right there. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen. Now, Noah's faith enabled him to see things that were not yet seen. Okay, we remember a few weeks ago when Pastor first spoke, when he started off this series of messages, and he said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the second part of it is the evidence of things not seen. right? And he explained that evidence really means a certain conviction of things that you cannot see. So out there, you always say seeing is believing, right? Well, we say faith is a conviction of the things that you don't see. And Noah had this. You see, look at the world at the time. What was it there? There was wickedness. There is a God who would be a judge. There is divine judgment coming. Now, the people did not know this. They did not see it. These were things they did not see. Right? They did not see God. They did not understand God. They did not understand that they were wicked or evil. They did not understand that divine judgment was coming. And then you see Noah, by faith, being able to see who God is as judge. He's able to see the divine judgment that would come. He's able to see the wickedness that is there and choose to live in a way that is different. So you see Noah's faith being enabling him to see things that were not yet seen. Okay, and I think sometimes our problem is that our faith is really based much more on the things we see than on the things that we don't see. Sometimes, okay? You know, I remember when I was doing when I got my A-level results, so applying for university place. Based on what I can see, okay, I just 2 A's, 1 B. It's not great. It's okay. You know, it's not fantastic. It's not very, very poor. It's okay. So I thought, well, what should I apply for? And I was advised, okay, why don't you go and apply for law school? Because in law school, never get into law school. AAB, right? Not possible. I don't think so. Well, I applied and got an interview. Okay, fine. Got an interview. Okay, and then I went for the interview and they asked about current affairs. Wow. And I remember at that time they were asking about, you know, NS had this, because I was in NS, and then they said, okay, you know, surely you know, because you're in NS. Okay, NS has this, can't remember what year anniversary. Yeah, you know, they're doing this thing. What do you think about it? I had no idea what they're saying. Two interviewers staring at me. I just looked straight in the middle of it. And you just wish that the earth would open a hole and you jump in there. You know, and you never think that, hey, you know, maybe I would be able to get in. Because sometimes in life, the things that we see is really all that we place our faith in. And we forget this unseen factor, and that is God. And there is this thing that is not seen. And our faith should enable us to see the things that are not seen. And in this case here, there is a God out there. I'm not saying that, oh, you know, just do whatever you want, your results are like very, very bad, but you want to can get to any. No, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that there is another factor that we often don't consider. We always see our result, you see your CCA, you see how well qualified you are, but we do not factor in that one unseen factor, which is God. You know, and this is something that I saw in school as well. You know, in university I was involved in school, but also really quite actively involved in church. And one thing about it is that youth conference, which is the best time of my life, my favorite thing ever, is really just after the university exams. So that means that preparation for youth conference coincides with the exams for university. And wow, you know, there were times where I get so stressed by everything. And you think, how can I do well? First, okay, I got to do my part. I've got to study as hard as I can. But the fact is, I do not spend as much time on my work as maybe others do, as my friends do. And based on my results, look, I was AAB type. AAB type is you take a stone, you throw, go to law school, you throw anyone. Boom, it hit. What's your results? Definitely better than AAB. You'll be 3 A's, 4 A's type. These are people from, you know, better schools and all that. And yet, you know, I'll just show you. So you have this, first class honors, which is this is not my thing. You know, it's like the top 5% type. I can't do it. So, you know, this is the second upper type. This is the second lower type, correct? This is quite typical. And, you know, since I entered, I never fell below this thing here. So, you know, it's not like a really good results or anything, but I maintained this thing all the way through safely. And there was never a point when I was afraid that it would fall because it just didn't. For somebody who is really not all that smart compared with those others that are there, to be able to do better and to maintain that. No, to me, what is it? Isn't it me? Is my effort? Is my... No, to me, it's this unseen factor. It's the God that we believe in. We say we want to serve the Lord, we want to honor Him, the Lord honors us in return. That unseen factor, and our faith should enable us to see that far more than the things that are just here and now and the things that we are physical. You know, and this is what it is. And you know, even today, what is it that really drives me even as I serve the Lord? You know, people say, oh, you gave up a job, you gave up, you know, it's lucrative. It's, yeah, these are things that are seen. But what is unseen? The hope in my heart. What is unseen? Earnest expectation. What is unseen? The Lord's purpose in my life. What is unseen? The grace of God in my life. And my faith sees the things that are unseen. You know, and I just want to ask you, well, do you see the things that are unseen? Do you see God as greater than the things that are just material? Okay, but what else is it? Let's just look ahead, okay? So first we have the things that the faith that Noah had enabled him to see, okay? I'm going to write a big C. And then the faith that Noah had, if you just see but you don't do anything about it, wasting everybody's time. So you got to do, right? And the faith that Noah had enabled him to do something about it. And this is the part I really like. You just look ahead, okay? Moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Okay, he moved with godly fear. And I really like this. Why? Because Noah was something like between 500 and 600 years old when he was first instructed to make the ark. He had his children when he was 500. And the floodwaters were on the earth when he was 600. So somewhere in between, the Lord instructed him to make an ark. So here is this 500-year-old man running around. I don't know whether he was running, but he was moving around. He moved with godly fear. He built the ark. He took the logs. I don't know how he managed to do it, but maybe, you know, people living at the time were made of sterner stuff. They were stronger. Maybe their diet was healthier, not so much pollution. Whatever the case, they lived longer and they were probably stronger. And he was able to make that ark. Of course, probably he got his family to help him. You know, all eight of them together making the ark. You have to, right? And that really impressed me. Look, here's this man with faith, and not only with faith to see divine judgment, but also to be able to do something. And so there he was, moved with godly fear and able to make that ark. And what else is impressive about this is the second thing that's impressive is really that the ark is a really huge thing. I mean, just common sense. Even if you don't have... Okay, it's not only for Noah, right? It's also for all these animals. You need to have two of every kind. So even if you don't have as many species as you have today, even if you don't have at that time, it's still going to be a lot. I mean, you cannot I want to make a small ark, and then you ask the elephant, hey, you're going to lose some weight, then you can come onto the ark. It doesn't work, right? It's got to be big. In Hong Kong, there is a replica of the ark. There is like a real life-size replica. They think it's supposed to be this big. Now it's huge. I don't know whether it's really that big. But it's big. How did he make that big ark? Now that has got to be a real display of faith. No matter how you see it. This is the rest of the world, evil, corrupt, doing whatever they want to do. And here is this man, old guy, making an ark. That is a display of faith. It's what you do. It's how you express your faith. You see, and sometimes, you know, I find that we are like a little bit afraid of saying that we are Christians. A little bit shying away from this notion that we are holy people that belong to God. And my question is why? Because here is this man displaying his faith, and it was a huge display of faith. You know, and sometimes we ask ourselves, how do we display our faith? How do we express our faith? We say we have faith in God, we say we are Christians, but exactly how are we expressing our faith in God? You know, and for those of you who are in JC, I remember when I was in JC and I was choosing a CCA, and one of the requirements that I put down for myself was that no Saturday afternoon, 3 o'clock. Reason, of course, is YPG. Don't touch that. Whatever CCA I join. You know, so when I chose my CCAs, I told myself, no, I'm just not going to touch it. And did the Lord bless? Yes. I managed to find a CCA. I was a swimmer. I swam in JC and trained hard and did well in the CCA. do you have to say, oh, you know, I have to join this particular CC, I have to make some compromise here and that. No, you don't. Why can't we just say, I'm going to put my foot down and at 3 o'clock on Saturday, I'm in church? Why can't we say that? Even for that matter, for university and all that, why can't we simply say that? This is the Lord's time. Why can't we simply say that? I will be here consistently, whether I have exams or no exams. You know, and that's what it is. Express that faith that we say that we have. Okay, you know, we say that we have faith, and let's really express that faith. And those of you in the army, obviously, you cannot say, I'm going to be on Saturday at 3 o'clock. Otherwise, you're going to be AWOL, and it's going to be, I told you to do that, and then I will be with you in detention barracks. So, obviously, in army, that's not what you're going to do. But look, army is a different situation altogether. Sometimes, I remember, I was only in BMT for 5 days, okay, so don't. But really, it... No, I mean, in army you have about 10 minutes to eat. I remember that you're only given 10 minutes to eat. Okay, say grace. By the time you say grace finish, you know, half a minute is gone. You better quickly. Sometimes you say grace, you open your eyes, the food, something is gone. You know, people do all sorts of funny things. But you know what I mean? Express your faith wherever you are. Don't keep it to yourself. Here is this old guy creating a huge ark in front of a world that is wicked. Expressing his faith in God. And that is something that I think really, really is really, really wonderful. How are we expressing our faith in God? Chinese New Year, speaking to people about your faith. You know, for me, every chance I get, I'm looking for a chance to tell people about God. Because many people need to hear about a merciful God. Seriously, there are people with cancer. My uncle has cancer, lung cancer, fourth stage, discovered just a few months ago. It basically means that he may not see the end of the year. And what about his children? How do they feel? And then there will be mothers who say, you know what, I go to a church where there isn't very much provision for my children. So I'm not fed spiritually. What should I do? There are people who need to be drawn closer to God. Are you expressing your faith? Are you sharing your faith? Do people know that you're a Christian? And if they do not, why not? You know, why don't we? You know, and this is just something that's important. What we see and what we do. Okay, and it comes out in the most natural of ways. Okay, and you know, one more thing that really, really impresses me about Noah. Let's just move on. By which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. And this is what he was. Okay, he was an heir. Now I'm just gonna. Well, I don't know whether you have been. Whether you have inherited anything. Okay, but there was once when I was asked to be an executor of a will. So my uncle and my auntie said, okay, will you go and be an executor of the will? That means that if they die, then their children will get the property. But because the children are so young, I would have to make sure that the right child gets the right property. Or the right child gets the right asset. So you've got to be an executor of the will. What does that mean for the children? Do they have to do anything to get that asset or that house or whatever it is the parents want to give them? Nothing. It's zero effort. Right? You just get it. That's what an heir is supposed to be. When it says heir of righteousness, it means you simply receive the righteousness of God. Okay? And if you really study the story of Noah closely, you would realize that Noah was described as righteous. He was. A just man, perfect in his generations, Noah walked with God. Correct? And yet, his righteousness was just not enough when it's compared to the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God is so much greater than the righteousness of man. You cannot even begin to comprehend that great gap between God and us. And here's that promise. When God says, the righteousness that I have is declared to you. That is what it means to be made righteous in God's sight. You know, and I think that's a really wonderful thought. I don't know how you appreciate this. You know, but I think that sometimes we are just too caught up with trying to prove ourselves to God. We're just so caught up with trying to be somebody that we think God would be pleased with. Is there anything wrong with wanting to be somebody that God wants to be pleased with? Absolutely not. But what's the problem? We forget that this righteousness has been declared to us already. You know, and it's just something that I think happens to all of us, and especially to those of us who serve, especially those of us who have spoken or chaired at the pulpit. in the morning worship or any other worship. For those of us who have in some way are in some way involved in some ministry and you feel like this is what I'm supposed to be, and you find out that it's not all that easy to be righteous because you fail and you feel down about that and you feel really discouraged about that, and sometimes you feel like your walk with the Lord is just down in the dumps. Do you know why? Because it's so hard for us to understand how God makes us an heir of righteousness. For God to give him that righteousness, to give you that righteousness. I understand this. I really do understand this. You know, to be a student pastor, well, how do you think that feels? You know, I want to be a good student pastor, obviously. Now, I've seen examples of people who have failed in the past. I don't want to be like that. I want to be a certain way. So I find myself trying to prove myself to you, to pastor, to God, and so on, and so on, and so on. But you know, that's not what the Lord is looking for alone. What the Lord is really, truly looking for is faith in Him, true, solid faith in Him, where you really just believe in God. And when He looks upon that faith, you know what the Lord does, or has already done? He declares you righteous in His sight. You know, if you want to prove yourself to God, you know what would happen? If you say, I want to prove myself to God, what would happen is that once you have some form of success, that sense of pride and self-satisfaction will come into the picture. And if you fail, you feel really discouraged. That's what it is. But being an heir of righteousness is not that. To be an heir of righteousness means you really receive the righteousness of God. Yes, there are times where we will still make mistakes. But we have inherited God's righteousness, and that makes all the difference in the world. And how does the heart respond? Just deeply grateful, really, really appreciative, just the sense of joy and being able to be righteous in God's sight, to be clean before Him. You know, and this is something that really brings a great, great joy to my heart. Now, I remember I was deeply encouraged when John shared a few weeks ago the song, You Never Came Down, right? I tried to be the Savior. I tried to wear the crown, climbing up a mountain of pride, sure, so sure of where I was bound. And you looked at me from your tower of wood, and it was there I found that only you can be the Savior. Only you can wear the crown. And that's really what it is. Why not have faith in God instead? Stop looking at yourself. Stop looking at your discouragement and all the things that bog you down. And look at the Lord instead, because the Lord will look at your faith, and because of your faith, declares you an heir of righteousness. And this is what Noah's faith was. It was faith that enabled him to see things differently, see life differently. It was faith that enabled him to do things differently. He expressed his faith in God to everyone and anyone. And it was also a faith that made him an heir of righteousness. You know, if your faith can have these features, how about it? Instead of just a faith that is just, okay, I don't really know. Okay, I have faith, but I don't really know what it's all about. What about a faith that is just like Noah? That contains these features. Your life is so marked by these features. The way you see things is different. How you express your faith, what you do to express your faith is different. And you are an heir of righteousness, and you are so sure of that. Nothing shakes that confidence. This is the faith that we're talking about. This is the faith that Noah had. You know, if you want to combine all the lessons, Abel, Enoch, and now you have Noah, you know, you see a trend. What is that trend? They all believe, Hebrews 11:6, God is. They all believe God is a rewarder. In every single instance, God rewarded. You know, I just want to challenge you, to those of you who are new, would you not consider discovering this God seriously? You know, instead of looking for all sorts of things, would you not consider discovering faith in God? Discover God for who He is. And for those of you who are not so new, can I challenge you to diligently seek this God until you find your faith coming alive, like what Noah had, like what Abel had, like what Enoch had, and more, and more, and more examples. You know, and one of those examples, maybe you could be an example of faith one day to others. And I want to challenge you to find this faith real. I want to challenge you to discover this faith for yourself. Okay. Now, as we go into our discussion groups, I would like you to ask yourself these two questions. Can I discover God? Can I diligently seek Him more? Okay? Okay, let's go to God in prayer. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word that you have given to us. Thank you, Lord, for the example of Noah and how his faith changed the way he saw things, changed the way he did things, and made him an heir of righteousness. We pray and ask, Lord, that you help us to discover you so much more. Help us, Lord, to want to diligently seek you. We pray and ask that as we discuss, Lord, that you will help us to personalize and understand these lessons and then to find them changing our lives. We pray that you will bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's collect an offering.